Well, welcome to Radio Entrepreneurs and our Conscious Business Show. I'm here with Peter Meyerson from Cohen Resnick Meyerson. Thank you for joining us today.
It's a pleasure, and this is going to be a very interesting show.
Well, we've got our first guest is Mary Adams, and she is CEO and founder of Smarter Companies. She's here to talk to us about integrated capital management, and it's really connecting the tangibles and the intangibles in companies today. And you really had a great professional career in finance, and then you realize there's a whole other opportunity here in terms of businesses engaging and looking at their full knowledge camp and the value that they create. And in part of the Conscious Capitalism and focus for the Conscious Radio Show is to talk about businesses, looking at their holistic perspective and certainly how they value what they are doing. So we'd like to start off for our listeners to understand, what is Smarter Companies? Why did you start the firm? And give us a little perspective on that, please.
Sure. I've had my own consulting firm for going on 17 years now, and I started it after a 15-year career in high-risk finance. So I very much came from the quote-unquote hard side of business. And as I started working with companies over the last 17 years or so, I have lived what they've lived, and we've all found that the financials don't really tell the story anymore. And so we need alternate sources of information to make better decisions internally, but also to tell a better story or a more complete story externally. So over time, my work has evolved and hopefully improved as we've found new ways of measuring what's important in business.
Mm-hmm. Now that's great. The elements that you look at in terms of what companies value and how they can be valued, a lot of it tracks to elements of the conscious capitalism
yep.
movement.
I mean, yes.
Talk to us a little bit about where that intersection happens for what you do daily with these business leaders.
Sure. I view the work that I do, which is increasingly becoming part of something called the integrated reporting movement, and I believe that I see that as complementary to conscious capitalism. Conscious capitalism helps you think about how to be a better company, how to think long term, how to think more holistically, and integrated reporting and management gives you some of the tools to do that. So one of the foundation concepts is the capitals, and there are six capitals that people are increasingly talking about. Financial capital, of course, and hard assets. They called it manufactured capital. But internally, there's a whole class of assets that get ignored. Well, actually, two classes. The human capital, which is very much a part of the conscious capital model. And then something we call intellectual or structural capital. And this is the enormous value that's been created over the last 40 years as we've used computers to create data and processes and software. And that's really where so much of the value is in today's business. So that's another set of capitals. And then finally, bringing into the model that companies use to manage themselves the natural capitals and social capital. So thinking about how do we be a better citizen? How do we think about things like energy and environment? And increasingly, all of these issues are important for the risk management of companies. They're important for strategic opportunities and innovation. And companies themselves, obviously, you have enlightened managers that want to change things. But to attract employees, especially younger people, they're thinking about these things. And if you want to attract a good set of employees and partners, you've got to be thinking about these issues. And finally, the financial community has very much begun to focus on this. There's clear data that companies that pay attention to what the financial world, they call it ESG, environmental, social, and governance. Those aspects are getting increasing scrutiny by public analysts. The information's inside Bloomberg now, and people are, it's still in its infancy, but people are spending a lot of time trying to understand this.
Is there a particular kind of company that you target this information to?
It's interesting. I mean, I just finished a paper where I looked at 10 integrated reports that were issued by public companies, and it I can talk about that in just a second, but it's happening in very large companies, but I've been using this kind of approach with my middle market companies and clients for, you know, the entire time I've been in my practice. And actually, in many ways, it's easier to change a mid-sized company, especially a privately held business, because if people have good values or they have a vision, they can change things more quickly. Also, there tends to be, obviously, more of a long-term perspective in a private company because they really are looking to build long-term value. And so if you're in anything where, you know, well, everybody uses energy and, you know, many people use water and paper and electricity, all those things are important issues that you have to think about, well, how are things going to change going forward? And anything that touches consumers, they're going to start paying attention to these things. So it's really... It's something that everybody's thinking about. How it gets implemented is, you know, obviously is different in different places.
And translated, I know even some of the integrated reporting, you know, movements, whether it's Bob Eccles out of mm-hmm. Harvard and mm-hmm. such, trying to say, how do we combine, look at combining financial statements. And,
right.
And that's been an area that you've looked at as well, and that momentum is changing. But I think, too, as you highlight, the demographics are changing, right? You look at the entrepreneurs and the new GDP and those companies that are starting up, very much looking at a lot of the elements that you're speaking about, as well as the mid-stage, but also trying to get the public companies. And that's been stepping up as well. I mean, there's a lot of organizations today that are pulling in the public sector to have them talk about environmental, social governance issues and that. And so I think it's really important in terms of what you highlighted, the knowledge management, the intellectual capital, all of that is the intangible. So how do you define that?
Right.
In terms of value creation for Wall Street, so this is one of the issues. You know, a lot of the business leaders are saying, I'm doing all this, mm-hmm. right? And I'm looking at shared value, and I'm a conscious capitalist, and I'm being mindful as a business leader. But then how do we generate that value from Wall Street? And that's really at the heart of what you're doing in
right.
those financials.
So the core phrase that everybody's using increasingly is value creation. Mm-hmm. So what's happening now, you know, if we talk about public companies because it's easy to see this, 100% obviously of public companies file release their financial statements and discussion and information. It's up to over 80% of American companies, public companies, are now issuing some form of sustainability reporting. But what's happening is they're in two, I call them ghettos. They're completely isolated in most cases on the websites. You go to investor relations, you don't see a mention. There's not, right. Nobody uses the word. And then you search around and you find another site that is often, you know, sustainability.whatever the company's name is.com. In a completely different place that has sustainability information. So it's like you're telling two stories to the market, you have two faces, and that's not a comfortable place to be as a manager. It's a little confusing for, you know, your stakeholders. You're not telling a coherent story. And now that the financial world is waking up to this, they go looking and, you know, how do they kind of understand the story. So the paper that I mentioned that I just released this summer, I looked at 10 integrated reports that were issued earlier this year in the U.S., and they really fell into three categories.
No, I don't mean to interrupt you,
yep.
but are these reports prepared by companies or by people?
No, by the companies themselves.
By the companies themselves.
So almost all of them were, two of them were kind of special cases. There were multinationals that were issuing a U.S. report, so they didn't have an investor relations page. But then 7 of the 10 actually had a link to this report on their investor relations page. One group, basically, Pfizer's a good example of this, seemed to include all of their financial and all of their sustainability information. It was a very large report, and they connected the dots and included a very rich data set. There's a great example came from GE. It was their first, they called it integrated summary report. And they basically, it's a like a roughly 60-page report that you could think of as sitting on top of the rich information that they provide in their financial and sustainability reports. So they basically wrote us an executive summary that synthesizes and explains how it all fits together. And they're interesting, Darby, on the intellectual capital or the knowledge side, where they started talking about their knowledge, their pool of knowledge. They called it the GE store. Yeah. It was a very interesting. Yeah. And so they, we all know that GE has this shared knowledge and experience and culture that they then include in their, I think, something like 9 different verticals. So they kind of took this integrated summary approach. And then there are a few companies, Clorox and Southwest are great examples of this. Southwest has been doing it the longest, that pretty kind of re-engineered the whole thing and came up with something that's almost as short as GE's report, but stands alone. It's their annual report, and it includes, in the case of Southwest, they kind of used the triple bottom line approach. They called it performance, people, and planet. But what's interesting about Southwest, and I think this is where it will go eventually for everybody, is that they have, in those 3 categories, 5 years of data for all their different key components of their capital. So they have people and customers. They have, obviously, performance of their airline and their equipment and all those kinds of things. And then 5 years of data on all their environmental metrics and social metrics. So now it feels like a financial report. You can look at it and say, what are the trends? How are they doing? What does this mean? And it's not easy sometimes to measure things that are intangible, and it's still imperfect. But being able to come up with something where you can look at it, and it's not just a story, it's beginning to be much more concrete and real and trackable. And that's what ultimately a financial analyst wants. By the way, that's what a banker wants. I've used this kind of information to help people get loans and to raise money, because if the value of your business isn't on your balance sheet, and for public companies today, the balance sheet only explains 16%. Tangible net worth is only 16% of the total corporate value. So where is the rest of the value?
That's fascinating, because I would have thought that a lot of the value of this would be in attracting employees, because, you know, but I can certainly see how a report like this would be helpful if you went to a lender.
Right.
You know,
definitely.
Or a VC or you know, somebody trying to raise money for you.
Right. And that's it's interesting, because you bring up sort of the issue of the reporting, but also it's the analyst community. And so that's where we're hosting this morning's show is at the Boston Security Analyst Society. And so and that's been one of the discussions. And they've actually got an impact investing conference coming up in later November. But this is one of the areas that we've talked to them about. So do you see in terms of next steps? I mean, you've seen and you've been in this for quite a while, and you've seen the needle move. I mean, where do you see it going next? And what do you think the next hurdles are, or where you're well positioned to make that change?
So it's interesting, and the integrated reporting specifically is an international movement, and there is a integrated reporting international IRC council. You know, it's like every big company and every organization from AICPA, you know, to SEMA, which is a very important player, management accountants internationally. But there's a lot that's being done from the top down. But I think that really what's going to happen over the next 5 years is you're going to have more and more people just beginning to experiment with this and using the information, and they get asked questions by bankers and or analysts or employees, and they think, gee, what are we going to do? How are we going to get started?
Right.
And so one of the things that I do is I've developed over the years this one-page worksheet that companies can use, and I you know, you don't have to use mine. You can go to the international framework, but you know, just start simple. Just think, well, if there really are six kinds of capital in a business, what are our capitals?
Right.
Because it sounds really abstract when you talk about human capital. But if you start saying, well, what are the important things about our people? What do we need our people to do and to know how to do, and what's our culture? What should that look like? And what kind of effect do we want to have on the environment? And also, you know, how are we going to create a scalable business that is sustainable? And a huge part of that for every business today is technology.
Right.
So start simple, say, what are my capitals? And begin to get used to maybe making some metrics, making some diagrams to say, this is how we create value, and we're committed to create value in the future.
Right. No, excellent. And you mentioned two things, you know, the human experience, right? We forget as we put that business mindset on, but it is the human journey, and also sustainability. I mean, we have to look at all factors to say, mm-hmm. how are we going to sustain ourselves as an organization? But we support so much in the communities, global and domestic, that's our responsibility, right?
Right.
As business leaders. Mm-hmm. But and Mary, thank you so much for being with us here today again at the Boston Security Analyst Society, and also our sponsor Global X, that's going to talk later about their Conscious Capitalism ETF. But if people want to get in touch with you and learn more about what you do, what's the best way to reach out to you?
Sure. My website is smarter-companies.com, and I have a pretty active blog there and a lot of papers that back this up, and there's also contact information. My email's adams@smarter-companies. So.
Wonderful.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it and all that you're doing. I think we're excited about how this movement is beginning to take off around the country and now here in Boston.
Yes. Well, thank you for all your efforts. You've been a wonderful committee member and founding member as well for the Boston chapter. So, okay. Thank you.